Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning. This is Doug Field, the CEO of the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism, and welcome to this week's edition of Healthcare Consumerism Radio. And joining me in studio today is radio producer Jonathan Field. Good morning, Jonathan.
Hey, good morning.
And co-host Ron Bach. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We're doing well. How are you?
Terrific. Just terrific.
And I hope all of our listeners in the middle of this polar vortex are staying warm this morning. It's even chilly down here in Atlanta. It's going to be kind of a nice day, but we got some snow heading this way again. So I know it's chilly across the country. So to our Minneapolis listeners, our Boston or New York or Chicago listeners, stay warm. I'm glad you're with us today. We've got a great program lined up. After we talk about some of the events here we're happening at the IHC, we're going to bring on Dr. Jonathan Weiss, who's founder and CEO of Health Engine, and they're doing a unique play in the transparency space from the physician's point of view out to the patients and consumers. So it'll be interesting to hear Dr. Weiss talk about that. And then we've got Mark Poling, who is a co-founder and CEO of Calibrium, and they have a very unique CRM-based integrative software service platform that really enables health insurers and members, consumers, to really communicate better with each other. So, you know, be anxious to have Mark on, and Mark's also, his team's going to be with us at Private Exchange Dallas, which is where we are scurrying around, right, Jonathan? We're scurrying around getting ready for Dallas.
Yeah, coming up. We're heading out there next weekend, and then the show officially kicks off a week from Tuesday.
Yeah, 23rd to 24th. We're excited about the group coming in. We've got a solid group of employers and advisors and health plans and TPAs, as well as, you know, participants in the space. So we're excited about that, and it'll be an interesting discussion. I think there's a lot of to and fro. I think a lot, you know, discussion around, you know, what is really happening with exchanges and that model. So we'll be excited to see everyone in Dallas, and then give everyone who can't join us in Dallas a kind of a feedback on what that conversation was. Then we're busy at work on IHC Forum and Expo May 24th to 26th, you know, coming up. Super Saver rates right now on IHC Forum and Expo. We'll have 1,000-plus people there. So hopefully you can join us there. You know, Ron, I think we've got an interesting footprint on wellness. Well, we're going to talk about all the different moving parts of healthcare consumerism, which is our sweet spot. You know, we've got a nice group joining us of leaders in Atlanta, right?
Well, I think it's very exciting. I mean, this is going to be a great program. You know, the Atlanta program is the biggest program, and we take some of the best ideas from that and make sure that that those ideas are spread out in all your different forum opportunities or your media opportunities out there. But Atlanta is always the mainstay of the different forums. And it is exciting. You know, we're going to be doing an awful lot of talking about healthcare consumerism and all its different aspects. But a lot of people have really asked about wellness as it continues to evolve from where it's been to new dimensions, new opportunities, recognizing differences and from one employer to another one. There's a lot of experimenting going out there around different aspects of what we just normally think of as traditional wellness, but there are a lot of different variations. And an organization in Atlanta, the Atlanta Wellness Professionals, represents 40 of the largest companies in Atlanta focused on wellness. And we're going to feed that through the conference along with all the other interesting topics we're going to have. We're going to have people there from big companies in Atlanta. And I think anybody in attendance will want to learn from what others are doing in Atlanta, be able to share their ideas, what they're doing with the Atlanta folks. And I think just about everybody who comes likes to do that kind of networking, and this is going to be a great opportunity to network around a lot of topics, but especially some of the wellness issues.
Yeah, and I think, you know, wellness is being, in a lot of ways, continues to be redefined. A lot of innovation taking place from a digital health standpoint, from a data analytics standpoint. Then you've got the emergence of financial wellness, a very legitimate part of the whole wellness piece. In fact, Dr. Weiss is going to be talking about that a little bit on his piece and how does that fit with financial wellness. So, I mean, you know, we're going to do a session on mindfulness, which is kind of a new emerging part of health management and wellness, and how can that impact employee population. So, you know, we'll be talking, you know, a lot of experts from the employer point of view that you're pointing out, and we're very happy to be working with these leading employers on this event. And then also the innovators that are creating some of these solutions in the space and in the health plans, you know, themselves. So it should be a pretty dynamic program. We'll obviously have a big piece on exchanges, because that's a key part of where we're moving with the market. We'll, you know, we'll talk about healthcare access and cover healthcare access, and, you know, from transparency to some emerging new marketplaces, what's happening with HSAs themselves. I think Roy's going to lead a dynamic panel around HSAs and where are HSAs, you know, today, and, you know, where are they going? So, you know, join us. If you can join us in Atlanta from wherever you are, now's the time to kind of, you know, book your rate, $99 for most employers and brokers, a super saver rate. We try to make it very efficient for employers and their brokers and advisors to get here. So you can go to www.theihccforum.com. Ron, I know you're pretty excited, as I am, about, you know, what we're doing right now with our certification program. You know, the time has kind of arrived. You know, healthcare consumerism is on the main street, and I think we're getting some good feedback on our certification program out there.
We are. That's a great program. We've been doing it for several years now, and, of course, we adjust it and modify it with new ideas and thoughts that are coming in and new ways that healthcare consumerism is evolving. It's a four-hour session that we put on as a pre-con, and 4 hours seems like a lot of time, but everybody who goes through the program says, boy, that just, you know, seemed no more than an hour at best, because everybody gets engaged, they get involved, there's good information. People think they know about healthcare consumerism, but after they sit through the class, they realize that there's a whole lot more that they hadn't really thought about, and also how to just connect all the different ideas. We've got a you know, five-generational theme that we go through about where we've been, where we are, where we're going, and it really kind of connects people to all the ideas, and so they can understand the whole workplace evolution, what's going on, what to expect, what's been tried and is now changing or has become obsolete. We've got new ideas coming in. And, you know, this whole idea of wellness we just talked about in the May conference fits in well, because we keep talking about one of those generations is the third generation, and that's how your health and workplace sort of interact with each other. And wellness and ideas of the workplace, whether it's depression or stress in the workplace, really kind of fits into that third generation, which we see more and more companies dealing with. And in fact, many of the listeners out there may already know, but on January 26th, so just you know, a couple weeks ago, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force came out with a new recommendation on depression screening in the primary care offices. It used to be almost voluntary, based upon whether the physician had some of the right tools and screening mechanisms for depression. Now it's being made a major part of any physician visit. That patients really need to take one of the questionnaires that should be available in every doctor's office to define the necessary screening concepts for depression. And it also includes postpartum depression and prenatal issues as well. So depression and the workplace, depression throughout your life is really a key part of some of this mindfulness, well-being, mind and body connections. It's growing.
But, you know, to come back to the baseline of our certification program, our CHCC, and Don Cooper, who has joined our team as a co-instructor with you, Ron. Also, he leads some of our business development efforts. I think he says it well when he's talking to groups. There's a lot of vertical certification programs out there. You know, you can go get sort of around about HSAs, around compliance, around other issues. But, you know, the value proposition of CHCC designation, and you've alluded to it, is that this is the horizontal, you know, program. So whether you're an employer putting these programs in place and looking to better understand where you need to advance these programs, whether you're a broker or consultant trying to advise clients on healthcare consumerism, or whether you're a technology-led solution provider with a sales team that maybe isn't well-versed in some of the, you know, health and welfare issues, this gives everyone a really baseline understanding of healthcare consumerism, whether you're putting it in place or helping a client put it in place or selling the solution as part of the healthcare consumerism solution puzzle.
Yeah, I think the what Don's done a great job of doing is setting the foundation and now beginning to offer up, and we've already got some engagements scheduled, what I would call the enterprise option for healthcare consumerism training and certification program that we have. A lot of the people who have come through to date have been individual brokers or individual benefit managers who wanted to learn more and become certified in their own right as the experts and specialists in their area. What Don is doing with the enterprise solution is taking it to whole corporations so that everybody in the sales force, everybody in the marketing force, everybody in the HR, various ways that the corporations will want groups of their people that kind of get on the same page, have a common understanding, a common vision about what healthcare consumerism is and where it's going so that they can all work together to build better programs for the employees. So the enterprise solution that's developing is very exciting, and I think any listeners out there that can represent a whole company would be very interested in trying to bring this to their staff.
Yep. And I think as we kind of wrap up and get ready for our first guest is that, you know, you alluded to it as a pre-con. It'll be at a pre-con of all four of our events. So if you want to take the course in person and then you can go take the test online at the IHC University, you know, join us in any of these events. But you can also access the course materials and the videos online within the IHC University, the Learning Center for Healthcare Consumerism. And you can find that at theihcc.com. So we urge you to take a look, you know, learn, and we hope to see many of you in Dallas and then in Atlanta. And I'd like to now welcome our first guest, Dr. Jonathan Weiss, founder and CEO of Health Engine, onto the program. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
How are you? You coming from cold Chicago today?
Chilly Chicago, yes, but somewhat sunny. So we'll take that this time of year.
Jonathan, you're doing some really interesting and exciting things. That we on a lot of these segments, we talk about transparency. We talk about bringing consumers together. And you're coming at this from a unique physician point of view. And you've got a very interesting background, too. Kind of talk a little bit about your background and what you're doing with Health Engine, and then we'll talk more about solution.
So I'm one of those odd birds who did medicine. I'm an MD, and also did business, and decided to go out on the entrepreneurial route, and firstly built a hospital system that competed and became one of the largest private sector providers contracted to the National Health Service in the UK, and those were really bundles that were being purchased over multi-year contracts where you had to go out and really deliver the full solution, build the hospitals, hire the staff, put in place clinical governance, and then offer a price for outcomes and be value for money. That was sold in 2007 and subsequently set up two more businesses internationally, which have now become Health Engine here in the States, and have done what we've done for the last 9 years in the sense of what we're currently undertaking here.
Jonathan, you know, I want you to kind of talk more about this business model you have and the solution, but I think you have an interesting comment, too, where you say, why is healthcare consumerism a myth? Talk about that a little bit.
Well, that's a little tongue-in-cheek. The myth hasn't become a reality yet to a great extent or to a meaningful extent, because what we've really been saying to people as consumer-directed healthcare has made its foray is, good news, you're now sort of shopping for healthcare services, but you're in the dark. You don't know what you're really looking for. There's a lack of information. That started to improve really at the advent of transparency, which was a great advance coming into the fore of the last 5 years, I'd say. But there's still this disconnect, I think, between the consumer, their plan, and you know, the other most important counterpart besides the patient being the physician. And
yep.
So our whole mission is to serve the patient, give them access to all the information they need, be agnostic, not talk about networks or, you know, contracts, but let the market compete for choice opposite the individual who's making a consumer decision, but in the presence and support of their choice partner being their trusted physician most times. And that's yeah. where we think you've really got to get to catalyze true consumerism.
Yeah, I think you can jump in here. I think Ron and I would both agree with you that we can't just turn the light bulb on and say, hey, we're all consumers of health and healthcare, because we've never had to try to figure it out before. And emerging solutions like yours and decision support marketplaces like yours are absolutely much needed. Ron, you agree?
I do. You know, and I've always said I really don't like the term consumerism, although we've kind of stuck with it. You know, people don't consider themselves consumers when they're dealing with healthcare. They all consider themselves patients. But, you know, the media has picked up and promoted the term consumerism, so we tend to use that. But, Jonathan, could you tell us a little bit more about how does a health engine really work? What does it do? And our listeners are always interested in better value and lower costs. How do you get, as I think sometimes you state, you get savings beyond the health plan negotiated?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Sure. So, you know, there's a lot of competing products and services out there, but what we're really trying to deliver is a solution. And we believe that if you're offering a solution and you're backing it up, and you're the ones that do what you do, you should do that and take risk in perfect alignment with the patient, the plan, the insurer, if it's a fully insured sort of policy. And so
mm-hmm.
Health Engine, first and foremost, is a free-to-use technology and concierge platform. Concierge because, like we were just saying, a lot of people still don't even know what the difference between a copayment or a coinsurance is. So tossing them in the water with a lot of pricing variation and quality metrics before they even know how that impacts them in terms of their plan is sort of the deep end. What people have access to is this platform, and they can call the concierge service. They see every provider thereabouts in the country, every physician, every facility, every hospital, lab, imaging center. And moreover, they have instant access through the platform to where they are in their benefits so that they can be walked through, you know, where maybe their child has already spent part of the deductible, what all this means in terms of cost, quality,
mm-hmm.
which we can touch upon in a bit, and then service and sort of putting that together alongside their physician if they want to have them participate. Where we, on the other side, interact is we engage firstly with docs on the clinical side. That comes first. And we set out the ability for all providers who are qualified, accredited, and licensed to claim their profile for free. It never costs anything for a provider either. And basically, we have information that we will have populated about you based on hundreds of millions of claims level detail over the years we've been sorting through and mapping out. We'll have information on referral patterns, what kind of, you know, cases a center or physician might concentrate on, volume outcomes, all the sorts of information we would think or believe at this point that patients and physicians might want to make use of. What we also say is, tell us more about you. Tell the consumer, here's your stage, the light's on. Are you, you know, a designated center of excellence? Have you just completed a certification? If you can validate that, we'll put it up there. We'll let the consumer or the patient, as you say, see that alongside the physician.
Hey,
here are
hey,
your rates. Yep.
Jonathan, I want to give you a chance. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Jonathan. Go ahead. I
here are the rates. No problem. Here are the rates by allowable or the actual rates your plan has agreed for, you know, hundreds of services and increasing. And mm-hmm. this is where the prices, you know, can get a lot better. We say that's the worst case today if you walk in with your Aetna or your Blue Cross card. The providers, through Health Engine, can, if they want, not only compete on quality, but they can say, now that I know that I'm live in front of coming on 2.5 million people that have access to the platform now, I want to offer better rates if and when I can. When I can turn those on and off or increase utilization of my facility and sort of really get supply and demand working. That's where savings can come below the negotiated rate, and it still goes through your carrier. So it's not a cash up front bundle deal. It's right. the better of through Health Engine, and that's where we make money. Only when the patient and the plan have saved do we partake in that savings.
Okay, so is that, Jonathan, I want to have you tie it back to a large part of our audience is the employer and those stakeholders working with the employer on behalf of the employer's employees. So tie back the value proposition for employers. Why should employers, you know, come on board with Health Engine, and then how do they get started with you?
It's easy to get started, first of all. I'll take that,
okay.
that one right away. Again, we're free. We don't come out and push cost or PMPMs at you. We say, here's what we're providing at no cost. We're taking the risk that we can actually make money by driving rates below where they are today with the plan and do better. And so here's that platform offering all this information and the concierge service. We can give you all the engagement and webinar information, do on-site presentations, bring in local physicians. All of this is at no cost. Where the plan or the employer wins is, first and foremost, now there's a tool that employees, when they become patients, can take with them, whether they're at that employer or they leave, quit, retire, are fired. And that's important, I've found, over the last nearly decade. If people think this is just for when they're at that employer and it's being paid for, they start to get nervous. They think back to, if they have a memory of this, back to the 80s and 90s, and they think, is this really good for me and my doc doesn't really know about it? And Health Engine solves that. We say we're physician-led, it's free, it follows you, patient, and it can benefit your employer because when you are choosing cost-effectively, that saves money for your employer. It reduces absenteeism, sickness, disability from people that are sort of staying away from the doctor. It allows employers to take a fresh look at their plan. If they're fully insured, it makes the business case tremendously powerful to go self-funded. And what it also does is it enables them to touch the point of the cost curve that today is really untouchable, and that is past the out-of-pocket limit. Through Health Engine, and I think we're unique in this, your employer can agree that if you're either, let's say, a union client of ours and you have a low deductible now, or you're going for a very costly procedure where it doesn't matter because you're going to bust through your out-of-pocket limit or you've already reached it, by still choosing cost effectively, providers will compete knowing that through Health Engine. And if you save your employer, you know, tens of thousands of dollars potentially, through Health Engine that gets shared with the employee. So you've got true like-for-like alignment, and as I always like to say, there's a lot of sticks in healthcare. There's deductibles, there's reference pricing, restricted networks. Our solution is really the carrot, and it allows optimization of your existing network.
That's great. And I think you just alluded to the tie-in with financial wellness, too. We got about a minute to go, and I want to give you a
sure.
chance to kind of wrap this. And so, you know, kind of wrap in that piece to tie into financial wellness and then leave our audience with a couple takeaways, if you would, please.
Absolutely. Financial wellness is a concept I think that's been it's sort of like the consumerism or euphemism of consumerism. Healthcare is still the most costly service that most people will get over their lifetime. And there's a lot of fear that is causing individuals to increasingly stay away when a high deductible plan is put in. They're not shopping so much as just avoiding care. Financial wellness in rewarding the patient for not only being a consumer or choosing cost effectively, but saving their plan money and enjoying the benefits of reduced, you know, costs in healthcare. They get better value. They start to actually engage in all sorts of, you know, wellness and other activities that might not directly save money, but get people involved in caring for their own personal well-being.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, any final thoughts you want to leave our audience with beyond that?
There's no solution that I know of other than allowing competition at the level of where healthcare is provided, not by insurers, not from Hartford or Minneapolis, but healthcare is local. Engaging physicians, the advocates on behalf of their patients, on the cost and the quality side, through competition is the lever that's going to hopefully be a solution for, you know, the cost and value conundrum. And we're hoping to play a part in that.
Jonathan, I really, really enjoyed this discussion. You've done some innovative things up there, and nice to have you on the program. Look forward to a continuing discussion with you and your team, and invite you to join us down in Atlanta or IHC Forum and Expo if you can make it down there. So, and they
sounds,
can find you.
Sounds
at,
good.
Yeah, and they can find you at health, and they can find you at healthengine.com. Correct.
You can, and we're always happy to talk further with anyone who's got an interest in delivering value and saving patients money.
Thank you, Jonathan, very much. Have a great weekend up in Chicago.
You too. Thank you.
Take
so
care.
Much, guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Ron, good stuff.
It is. You know, what's fascinating in the presentation, and there's so much more we could have discussed, and we'll have to have him back on the program and get into some of the other areas. But, you know, he's really linking transparency with incentives in a way maybe some others are not, because sharing some of the savings, as I understood his description, it's another way to maybe put money into an HSA account or to have additional funds to pay for and cover some of the deductibles. So it's really a very interesting approach that he's putting together. And I'd love to find out other aspects of his program around bundled service costs that he alluded to, how he really gets lower rates if you've negotiated with a physician through one of the carriers and he's actually gotten them to give a lower rate through his marketplace platform. How does that really operate? You know, there's things called most favored nation status when you sign a contract sometimes, especially with the federal government, but even with the Blues and others, that you agree not to sell that product or service for less. So there's an awful lot of aspects that are changing here in the marketplace that you may be tapping into. So love to find out more about Health Engine, the marketplace platform, and his Get Paid to Save program. It's a fascinating discussion.
I just think that, and we talk about this every week on our programs, and we have a series of innovators on this program, is that, you know, so much innovation taking place, that, you know, coming at this market from all different points of view, some coming out of it strictly from the consumer point of view, some coming at it from the health insurers, from the employer point of view. Here he's coming at it from the physician point of view, and all of the above is all necessary to kind of create those best and better practices that we talk about, the best and better innovation out there.
Yeah, it really is. And what's nice to see with people like Jonathan is that bringing the physician in. You know, we've gotten too many people at times sort of getting in between the patient and the provider of care, the physician, especially the primary care physician that people go to and trust so much. So it's really nice to see in this whole process of evolution more physicians getting involved, whether it's developing new ways of delivering care, whether it's the telemedicine approach, which we talk about so much in some of these radio programs at the conferences, concierge services, as he mentioned as well. So it's great to see physicians and entrepreneurial physicians getting involved that are trying to create that link and bring back the patient-provider relationship with some strength and some rewards and incentives, because that is where the trusting relationship is and how we can all move forward with better health care. If we really get a lot of people who are telling the doctor what to do, restricting them, giving them limitations, and also restricting or limiting the patient on what they can do and where they can go. So that's really a real key to healthcare consumerism, because it is about healthcare consumerism, not health insurance consumerism.
Right. And it is about focusing on that, you know, whether we call them patients or consumers, or we're going to call them members here on the next segment with Mark, looking at it from insurance perspective. It's that same individual and families. And you know, the focus has never been on them like it is right now. And really, you know, providing them the right, you know, I mean, if we're going to have them take shared responsibility through our employer-sponsored healthcare footprint, then how are we empowering them and helping them become better, you know, consumers, patients of healthcare and health?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, let's bring on our next guest, you know, Mark Poling, who's co-founder and CEO of Calibrium. And Calibrium is really doing a unique software to service platform that really is bringing health insurers and members together, enabling them to communicate much better together and focus on engagement. And Mark, welcome to the program.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, nice to have you on the program. Are you out in Washington today? Or?
Yes, I am out in Seattle. Just got back last night.
Yeah, you're not not in the cold, frozen chosen like our last guest was in Chicago. Mark, we'll see you and your team soon at Private Exchange Forum in Dallas, and we look forward to that. Tell our market more about what you're doing at Calibrium, please.
Really, what we're trying to do is enable the health insurance plans to really engage with their members, both from an acquisition and selling perspective, but also servicing and retaining those members. A lot of health insurance plans, they only engage with about 5 to 10% of their members, and it's pretty hard to be a consumer-centric organization when that's, you know, the full population that you're engaging with. So we're helping health insurers do a better job of that.
And where do health insurers start to better understand consumers?
They need to start with the obvious, what their members are buying, what benefits they're using, what they're not using that they should be, and what they need that they don't have. So you've got somebody out there that doesn't have dental coverage, trying to get in front of them with that. You've got somebody who's children are turning 27 and aging off their policy, getting in front of that and proactively connecting with that person to help them through the process. Because, as you were saying, it's more complex now than it ever has been. You've got subsidies, you've got different, you know, more accountability on that member. So helping them through that process.
Yep. So for the most part, do you see health insurers not already doing this? Or are they now opening their eyes to what they need to be doing?
We see a lot of eye opening for sure. historically, they've relied on the broker channel to build that relationship with the member, and you know, they've been very siloed in terms of, you know, I've got my Medicare market, I've got my small group market. And because of that, they don't today, most of them don't have a full view into that member's life journey. They have the data. They don't have a way to bring it all together into a cohesive view and really leverage that in terms of how to engage with that member.
Ron, do you have a question for Mark?
Oh, I do. I mean, this is an exciting area, Mark. I worked for an insurance company for many years, and I think you're exactly right. They have an awful lot of data and information profiling an individual, but rarely do they do any kind of real data mining in that space. Tell us a little bit about more. What kind of data in the insurance arena are you delving into? Is it just the claims data? Is it other enrollment data, financial data, other insurance coverages that may be outside of healthcare? What kind of things are you doing for an insurance company to help them profile their clients in this way?
You know, if you think about it like Amazon, you know, is really what we're trying to do. When you go to Amazon.com or you call Amazon, they know who you are. You know, if you call, they know by your phone number. If you go to their website, they know what you've purchased and they know what you've looked at, so they can engage with you. So we're trying to help the health insurance plan do the same thing. So when somebody comes to their member portal, you know, and their group has dropped coverage at renewal, the health plan knows that. And rather than sending you a dental brochure for their dental plan and trying to upsell you, they're reaching out to you with, do you understand, you know, the options available to you? Do you understand, you know, the federal exchange process, that you might be eligible for a subsidy and those types of things?
Are you bringing in, or are you planning in the future maybe to bring in other data? You're kind of working in what some might call these days, you know, big data. Are you bringing in other information that might help profile or show their life activities that a person is doing, so that the insurance company might know if they're positioned for mortgage insurance or a disability policy or vision care or other aspects of their life? Are you able to bring that in, or is everything centered on the insurer's databases?
Primarily the insurer's database is where we're focused today, but, you know, we really have two major modules of software. One is what we call our marketplace, and that's really intended to, you know, to be your online interactive engine with the consumer. And the other is what we call our 20360, which is a CRM overlay for Salesforce and Dynamics. And those two are connected together. So the concept is we can pull in claims data into CRM. We've got, you know, every time you've called customer service, and we all know, also know which products you've purchased and what you might need based on your demographic pile or profile, how you're using your benefits, how you're not using your benefits, you know, what age your children are, and that type of thing.
Hey, Mark, this is Doug again. When did you roll these solutions out to the market?
You know, it's interesting. We launched product in 2009, and you know, a lot's changed since then. You know, when we were talking about sales and service automation in 2009, the name of the game was decreasing your underwriting backlog. Well, today that's completely gone. So our focus has very much shifted in terms of, you know, how do you manage your members and engage with them so that you can retain them, because the switching costs now, you know, every fall are zero. So you've got to, the health insurance plans that have, you know, given into, you know, provided intuitive tools, provided a higher level of service, you know, they're going to win the retention game, and that's what we're trying to help them do.
So
Mark,
so
who are your clients? Are they insurers? I say, who are your clients, Mark? Are they insurers, TPAs, exchanges, large employers? Who are you trying to target?
We're 100% focused on the health insurance market. When healthcare reform passed, we saw a lot of activity in the market in terms of, you know, people switching direction and going after the large employers or going after the public exchanges. We saw it as an opportunity to help health plans really navigate this and become a more consumer-centric organization and really change the face of who they are to engage with those members.
Yeah, I think, Mark, I would assume, although health insurers are your direct clients, that if I'm a major employer listening to this radio segment, I really want to talk to my health insurer about what you guys are doing, because I think their hair would be on fire understanding what you're doing and the value proposition to their employees and their families.
Exactly. And that's, you know, that's part of our value proposition to the health insurers is, you know, if you've got better tools for your employers and employees, which we provide, you know, you're going to attract those employers, because it's the game is much more complex and difficult for them today, too.
How do you see, when you look out across the marketplace, how do you see 2016 evolving as far as the, you know, the movement of the market towards your solution set?
So we see an enormous amount of interest in our CRM platform because, you know, most health insurance plans really haven't maximized their CRM capabilities. We also see a lot of attention on intuitive decision support tools for members, for employees, for employers, and for brokers. So we we believe there will be more and more focus and emphasis on those intuitive tools to really help all the constituents through this process, whether it's at renewal or administrating the process as they go through the year or acquiring new groups and members.
Ron?
Yeah, Mark, give us a little bit more detail about how your systems not only help the insurer to profile, but the maybe some examples. How does a consumer, how does one of their plan policyholders benefit from the work that you're doing directly with the insurer? Is it helping them understand what might be happening in terms of their medical care, where they should go, additional information, sort of a what you might call push technology? You're sending them stuff that they should need maybe in advance of getting a test or a treatment that may be upcoming, or maybe some of the early conditions from their data shows that they may be having some heart problems. How does it help the member out there exactly?
It helps the member by automating targeted information going to them via the channel that they prefer. So we're helping the health plans collect and understand what medium people want to be communicated with. Is it mail? Is it a phone call? Is it a text? And then using that CRM engine as an automated distribution platform to distribute that type of information based on what's going on specifically with that member. So, you know, if they're enrolling for a plan and we connect the health risk assessment at the point of enrollment, taking that information and then automatically getting the information to the member that's beneficial to them. So, you know, rather than sending a fitness wellness program to somebody that just said on the health risk assessment that they ruptured their Achilles tendon 2 weeks ago, sending them rehabilitation information on how they can get better sooner, rather than join our walking and jogging program and earn rewards.
So, how important is the health risk assessment data that they send in, and maybe the assuming you're getting also the prescription drug history and medication that they're under? Is that true?
Yeah, that's exactly true, and it's critical. And adoption, you know, has been elusive for health plans in terms of the HRAs. Just getting more people to complete those so that they understand more about that member and can be more proactive. So our tools are designed to really engage that member, keep the process simple, and not make it feel like a lengthy, you know, form that you've got to fill out, you have in your to-do mail pile forever, but engage them online, engage them on a mobile device to get that done.
So what is your business model? Is it all charging the insurance carrier for those services, or is there some fee or cost ultimately going back to the individual?
No, it's our revenue model is with the health insurance plan. So it's there's a lot of ROI for them if they can do the things that we've been talking about better. It enables them to do more revenue diversification because they've established that relationship, and revenue diversification in terms of ancillary products, et cetera, is critical. But you can't sell somebody something like that effectively if you don't really know who they are.
Okay, one more question, and then Doug, maybe you can jump in with what you've got there. The what's your competition here? Because I know a lot of, having worked in the insurance industry, a lot of times they think they can do everything better internally. So tell us about how your growth is and what your expectations are as an outside service selling to the insurance industry. Is that something that I know it's a hole that they need, so I'm really great. It's a great idea that you're in there, but what's your competition, and how difficult is it to be working with insurance carriers that sort of think they can do everything internally?
We do health insurance IT historically has always been our largest competitors. I think more and more they're recognizing, you know, the value of our platform is the integrated marketplace with CRM. We've got a lot of competitors on the marketplace side, and there are some great innovative firms out there doing some very fantastic things. We think we match up very well with them, but there aren't very many that that have the CRM component essentially embedded in that marketplace. And, you know, when we talk to health insurance IT organizations about CRM, I mean, CRM is a very dirty word in a lot of health plan organizations because there's been so many failed initiatives. So when we talk about our overlay for Salesforce and Dynamics in accelerating that implementation process by 6 to 12 months because it's already pre-configured for a health insurance plan, it's a pretty powerful statement.
Mark, listen, I've really appreciated having you on this segment and you taking the time. I'd like to give you the opportunity to leave our audience with some closing thoughts, if you would, please.
Yeah, certainly, and thank you, guys. Yeah, please contact us if you'd like to learn more. You know, we're really trying to help health plans, you know, begin to establish that relationship at the very first point of interaction, helping people through that complex buying process with decision support tools, so that they can win in the acquisition game, service their members better so that they build the relationship, and then they'll win the retention game.
Mark, thank you so much for joining us. And I want to remind our audience that may be listening that's going to be with us at Private Exchange Forum coming up in Dallas that the Equilibrium team will be with us in Dallas and look forward to seeing them down there. Mark, have an enjoyable weekend out in Washington. We'll see you real soon.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Take care, Mark. Some good stuff. Again, you know, the last segment we talked about, you know, transparency and healthcare access and decision support around consumers and coming at it from the physician point of view. Mark and his team is coming at this market from a really deep experience with CRM. That's an important solution set to really bringing people together and focus on engagement, Ron.
Yeah, I think what I see developing out there and the opportunity that, you know, Mark is tapping into here is this whole idea of big data. Now, think about if and when Mark or an organization like his takes all that claims data, all the prescription drug data, all the consumer input on their health risk appraisal, and starts to combine it with information from outside. Where are they searching on Google? Are they searching for healthcare issues? Are they searching for purchases of healthy equipment, bicycles or exercise or vacations that are healthy? You know, this era is a little scary, I think, for a lot of folks, and certainly is me in a lot of ways, but it's happening across a number of industries, really profiling their customers through uses of different databases that maybe weren't available or weren't thought to be connected in some way. So we're going to have all our lives profiled, and that's good and bad, I think. It's good that we're going to be getting information that we need at the time we need it, maybe in advance of when we even know we need it. On the other hand, there's not many secrets in our lives anymore these days. Everybody knows everything about everybody.
Yep, you're exactly right. Well, to our audience out there, we thank you for taking time out of your day and joining us here on Healthcare Consumerism Radio. I want to remind everyone that if you haven't gone to our forum website, theihccforum.com, where you can find information on our four national events this year, next one in Dallas, February 23rd to 24th, Atlanta, 24th to 25th of May, and then you'll find Baltimore and Las Vegas. Do so. Again, thank you for listening. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week on Healthcare Consumerism Radio.
Bye.